You're listening to the Clutter Fairy Weekly, a weekly webcast and podcast brought to you by the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas. If you'd like to participate in one of our live webcasts, please visit cfhou.com/weekly. You'll find a calendar of upcoming webcasts, as well as instructions for joining the Zoom meeting via the app or by phone. We'd love to see you. That URL again is cfhou.com/weekly. Now here's the weekly episode. Enjoy!
Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. This is the Clutter Fairy Weekly for January 10th, 2023. Happy New Year. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, certified professional organizer and owner of The Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is the webcast and podcast that digs deep into the clutter that piles up between you and the life you want to be living. We explore the habits and behaviors that lead to clutter, and we suggest strategies to slow the accumulation, reduce the collection, and comfortably manage the stuff we decide to keep.
If you're new to our Zoom meeting, we'd like to let you know that you can share your comments and questions via the chat, and I'll try to make sure Gail answers them before we move on to another topic. You can also use a raise hand feature if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question yourself via audio or video. We're also streaming the webcast live on Facebook, so you can share your questions and comments there, and I'll relay them to Gail. We're going to start by talking about our last tittle of 2022. Which was called Hold Please. The assignment was to put an organizing project on hold over the busy holiday season. Let's hear from our participants in Zoom and on Facebook. Who put a project on hold and what's the status of that project now? Please share with us in the comments. YouTube viewer Lauren H. had this to say: I may do an anti-tittle as I'm staying in town for the holidays and I'm feeling particularly motivated to get the house better organized.
We love all the creative liberties our audience members take with the weekly tittle. We put it out there and then y'all just do what you want with it. If doing the opposite of the task that we suggested helps you move towards your organizing goals, we are all for it. Our constant goal with the tittles is to give you a starting point every week to make any kind of movement towards reclaiming your space. So if you want to cultivate the habit of spending your downtime on the self-care action of decluttering and organizing, then go for it. As they say, you do you, boo. We'll be here cheering you on however you add organizing into your life.
I want to shout out to Isabel, who says this is the first time she's managed to listen to us live. She's watching us from Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, hi, Isabel. Thank you for making the effort. We appreciate it so much.
Rejoice says, family papers on hold until ? So it sounds like she's put the project on hold, doesn't necessarily have a plan for reviving it.
Right. Yeah, that's how we all feel about paper. That's the truth. Skip that paper as much as possible.
Pat in Michigan says, I downsized Christmas stuff by 3 boxes and contacted a marketplace Christmas booth vendor to donate to them.
That's a good idea.
No other resale shop needs my Christmas stuff this time of year.
Right, exactly. But what a great idea to give it to somebody with a booth. Cool.
Well, and people with booths who sell a lot of Christmas stuff typically have some storage space somewhere that they can tuck that away for now. Anything that doesn't sell, if they didn't manage to unload it in their clearance moment, they will have a place to put it for next year. Because it's always a popular category. It's just a matter of finding the customer.
Right, exactly.
Connie says papers, the important ones, need to be culled and sorted, all other papers sort of kept up with.
Good, that's excellent. If you kept up with something, you win. You win the game. That's excellent.
Here's another anti-tittle response. M said, I did the opposite of the tittle because no one could come and no one invited me anywhere over the holidays. I took advantage of not being disturbed and kept organizing and decluttering.
Oh, excellent. That's really great. And everybody's like distracted. And so there's not demands for your time in the same way. I like it.
See, I think, you know, we spent the whole year getting everyone fired up to work on their organizing. No one really wanted to put a project on hold.
That's right. It's all our fault.
In fact, Paula says, I blew off the tittle and went full steam ahead, going through every box and area of the house, pulled out a bunch of items for donation.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, good for you. I'm glad that our tittle inspired everybody to rebel against it. That's hilarious.
anonymous user said, I put clothes sorting on hold and started back at it yesterday.
Yay.
Excellent.
All right. Good job. Hopefully you feel a little more refreshed and renewed and ready to dig in for round two.
I'm going to jump in with an announcement we haven't made in quite a while, because Achala, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, asked if this is recorded for replay. And so this seems like a good place to jump in with our usual announcement that we hardly ever make about YouTube. I want to let everybody know, in case you weren't aware of it, that we have a YouTube channel with more than 200 videos on all kinds of organizing topics. Visit cfhou.com/YouTube. While you're there, subscribe to our channel and click the bell icon next to the subscribe button if you'd like to get notified when we post new content. We record these meetings every week, do a little bit of editing just to make ourselves sound less inept, and then post it on YouTube and also publish it as a podcast.
Right. So all of our weekly meetings have been recorded and put out there. And we had some amount of time before we started doing weeklies where we had some monthly recordings when we were doing meetings in person. And those are out there. And so if you want to listen to us talk about organizing, you can do it for a long time. You can keep yourself busy for some time. Please go out there and hunt for what you need.
I'm going to share one more comment before we get on to our topics for today. Okay. Welcome to Kevin. Kevin says, hi, everyone. Kevin here from Mountain View, California, staying warm and dry, thankfully. My first meeting, this looks like a group of kindred spirits. Just subscribed to your podcast. I'm pleased to say that my living room, dining room, and kitchen are under control. My bedroom remains a FEMA disaster zone. Self-grace is enabling me to accept that for now, but it is my next step.
Oh, there you go. Well, so you cleared the other rooms and some of that stuff probably went into the bedroom to get it out of the space that you didn't want that you wanted to clear up. So now you get to go to round two and go work on the bedroom. Well, let me just say, welcome. And we're so glad that you're here. Thank you so much. And we will do our best to support you in tackling the last country that you have to attack in your house. Good luck with the project, and we'll be here to answer any questions.
I'll share one more comment. Bridget said, I did absolutely nothing besides enjoying the good times. Yay. Started today with cleaning up our home again. Proud of myself.
That's great.
And we're proud of you too.
And it makes a difference for me to take those 2 weeks off and not have to be churning topics and thinking about, you know, I feel very refreshed again to come in here and talk to you about it new. So we all needed a little break and we got it. And I'm super excited to be back. We're back. We're ready to talk about organizing. So let's go.
Loads of comments coming in that I would love to come back to, but let's get on with our things that we have prepared first.
All right.
Before we get to our main topic, we want to share some of the feedback we got on this week's survey.
Our first question on the survey was, did you make any New Year's resolutions this year? And 50% of our audience said no. They were like, screw the New Year's resolutions. We're not doing that. 32% of the audience said yes. And the rest of you answered other. And here are a few of our favorites from among the other responses. Susie shared, I'm renewing my commitment to declutter. I think that's great, Susie. A commitment without a resolution is far better than more likely to succeed than a resolution without a commitment. So good on you. Sue said, I'm thinking of what habits and routines might improve our clutter-filled house and of how to include my family, which is excellent. This is a great answer. Examining the habits and the routines that contribute to clutter or keep us from clearing it is a powerful exercise. And also trying to loop your family into the process so that they're supporting you, they're reframing how they see it, they're participating in managing the household. That is a great thing. So good for you. Several respondents said that instead of making resolutions, they choose a word as the theme for the new year. And so we got a couple of those. Amelia's word is total. She wants to go all in instead of doing anything half-heartedly in 2023, which is a wonderful goal. Joy's word of the year is freedom. And she specifically mentioned the intention to remain cancer-free this year, which is a lovely goal. We wish you all the best. As did Jean, who said that her focus word for 2023 is health. Clearly, we all want to be focusing on our health and being in a good place around that. Karen's word for the year is simplify. What a great organizing-centric word that is. I love that one. I actually picked a word for the year. Mine is move. So I'm trying to remind myself to be in motion and, you know, not spend so much time on the couch or get more active and moving around. So I'm thinking to myself all the time, move, which is, we'll see how we do. Those people who made resolutions this year made a lot of the ones that we expected them to hear. We expected to hear from them, like, I'm going to lose weight. I want to improve my eating habits. I want to drink more water, exercise more, pray or meditate more, read more, and so forth. We'll share a few responses that expressed a typical resolution in a unique way or offered a resolution we haven't heard before. Susan Marie said, to make time to take care of my own needs by learning to say no to others. That is an important skill to learn because it massively impacts your life. Prioritizing yourself is a mark of being an adult, I think. You've taken over your own care from your parents and become a grown-up when you start thinking, I need to take care of my own needs. So good job, Susan Marie. Hila, I hope we're saying your name right, H-I-L-A, Hila, I decided to stop habits that make clutter in my mind and my digital environment. In 2022, I finished decluttering my real stuff. So now I'm doing my digital environment. You are ahead of the game then. That's a great goal. And if you've moved on to a digital environment, you are winning the prize right now. And Linda simply said, note to self, less. So I'm seeing that as Linda's word for the year. And it's a good one. If you spend the year reminding yourself to keep less, to buy less, and to stockpile less, you'll learn how much less you can live and still function with. And this is going to be a really useful exercise for you. It'll really change your point of view about what kind of stuff needs to be in the house and how long and how deep your store back stock has to be. It'll really change how you do your house and your stuff. Should be interesting.
Gail, you mentioned you picked the word move.
I did.
Did you make any resolutions?
No. I decided that I wanted to have an area of focus and that was it. And we'll see what comes from it.
Excellent.
It's going to, trigger action, we hope. I mean, when you think about a word in your mind, then it sort of focuses all of the idea is to focus all the actions you take around it. So we'll cross my fingers. I hope it goes well. What about you? Did you do one?
I did. I don't usually, because you know how I feel about New Year's resolutions generally. We've talked at length before about why they fail for so many people. Right. But at the last minute this year, I felt moved, so to speak, by the idea of writing every single day. So that is my one and only New Year's resolution. And I'm trying very hard not to tack anything onto it. It's really easy to decide, oh, and it has to be this and it has to be that. And it has to meet these conditions and so forth. So it's simply write every day.
Right.
And it's what psychologists who study habit formation refer to as my keystone habit, meaning if I do this thing, lots of other good things flow from it. It gets me thinking, it gets me planning, it gets me organizing, there are all kinds of good results.
And yeah, so trigger from that, exactly.
That's my focus this year.
Well, and in the clutter-free world, has always been, everything counts, right? So I have to write every day with no restrictions on how much means that it all counts. If you manage to write a sentence, that still counts, right?
I do have a quota, which is 25 minutes and 1500 words.
Ooh.
Which I, you know, I usually arrive at 1500 words by about 25 minutes.
Excellent. And so, okay.
Yeah.
We will check in with you occasionally to see how that's going.
I started it 3 days before New Year's. So I'm actually
ahead
up to 12 days.
Yay. Good job. Very good job. The master of habits. That is our Ed. He is working on it. Okay. So next we asked our audience, how would you most like for 2023 to be different from 2022? And one of our favorite answers was from Deb, who said, this year, I'm giving up on the usual big annual aim of completely clearing my yard and home of clutter. A lot has been achieved in the last few years, but I've been dissatisfied every year because the job has never been finished. This year, I'll measure success and have a win each day by celebrating regular, smaller actions and achievements. Consistent progress is now the focus, not an overwhelming big goal. Likely, I will achieve more that way and enjoy the process along the way too. Deb, this is such a great mental reframing. You've recognized that consistent progress acknowledged every day will get you the ultimate results you want. This focus also implies that you need to stick with it over the long haul to finally get through everything. Since you mentioned clearing the house and the yard, it sounds like the project is big and it won't be done in a few weeks of work. So consistent progress as a goal keeps you at it indefinitely until you actually make it through everything. And having done this with clients, I mean, worked my way around their house from room to room over a long time, I've seen the end results again and again. You will make progress and see it happening. And eventually you'll find yourself back at the beginning thinking, wow, I've been through everything now. And we will celebrate with you whenever that happens. What a great, great reframing for the new year. I'm so pleased by that. And then finally, just for fun, we asked our audience to share any quirky, fun, unusual, or interesting New Year's Eve or New Year's Day traditions that you observe. And here are a few of our favorites. Rhea said nachos with plenty of homemade guacamole on New Year's Eve. I vote for that one.
That's a good
I'm totally
one.
Down with that one. Susie says, try to finish off all the fattening food before we start a new diet. How many of us have done that? Oh, we got to eat these potato chips because we're starting the diet tomorrow.
But we should remind people of the sunk cost fallacy. Just because you paid for them doesn't mean you have to eat them. You could also give them away.
You could give them away, yeah. But somehow that never wins when you're trying to get rid of the fattening food.
True.
Anya shared her tradition of watching a 1960s British comedy sketch called Dinner for One or the 90th Birthday. We'll share a link in today's show notes for anyone who'd like to add this to their own traditions. And I actually usually try to spend my time New Year's Eve with some friends. And I went out into the country and we shot off fireworks at midnight in the driveway, which was lots of fun. Although I felt like it was really loud out in the country where there's no other sounds and nothing else going on. And I was like, we're being kind of mean to the cows right now. Making all the fireworks go off, but we had fun for half an hour, and that was our New Year's Eve tradition. It was fun.
Okay, before we get on to the main topic, I'm going to share one comment. This is from Tammy. Tammy said, my 2023 words are clarity, truth, joy, maybe belly laughs. I don't set New Year goals because I feel crushed and angry when I don't do them. So I'm practicing daily intentions.
I like it. And I like that you've included belly laughs because laughing, you know, is the best medicine forever. It's the best mood enhancer and it can only make your aim towards the other words that you're trying to accomplish easier. So make that one a priority every day because I think it'll really help.
Okay, let's get to our main topic. January is Get Organized Month. But after the year-end shakeup, it can be hard to figure out how to start new projects, restart past efforts, make a solid plan, find motivation, and keep momentum. Today, Gail's going to offer strategies for planning and implementing a rock-solid organizing project.
Awesome. It's the new year, and maybe you, like everyone else, set a resolution to get organized, which is great, and we love that. But do you even know where to start? Just in case you weren't jacked into the matrix to download new knowledge about organizing over the holidays, and you're still as clueless about where to start as you were on December 31, we're here to help you. So we can begin with a little self-reflection on your areas of concern. You can start by finding those pain points and setting some goals for what you want. So look around your space and ask yourself, what makes you the most crazy about your space? What's that one thing that annoys you every time you look at it? Maybe it's a piece of furniture. Maybe it's a part of the kitchen. Maybe it's a counter. Maybe it's when you walk into the garage and you see something that is piled in the corner and you find that extra super annoying. Whatever that one thing is that every time you walk by it, it makes you scowl or mutter under your breath. That is the one that needs the biggest attention. So you want to figure out what are those crazy, makes you crazy, most annoying places, those pain points. Those are the ones we want to identify. You can ask yourself, what feels unsafe about your house? Are you worried about the safety of you or your guests? Is there any kind of a bug problem or rodent problem that might be creating a health hazard in terms of breathing in the house? Is there a heavy layer of dust somewhere that is causing an allergic response? Is there a floor space that isn't clear? Is there a pathway that isn't clear enough for you to make a safe exit in an emergency? Think about the things in your house that might make it more hazardous to be there and make those a priority. You can put those on your list, your areas that need to be attended to. What seems overwhelming? Does your brain freeze when you contemplate your project? Noticing where you look and go, oh God, I don't even know. Oh, those places that shut you down completely. Those are the ones that we need to pay attention to. So look around and see, at what point do you feel completely overwhelmed and can't imagine starting it, and put that space on the list. Then think about what you would like to have when you're done. How would you like the home to look or to feel to you when you're complete? Ultimately, you want to be able to feel at peace in your space. I'm going to say that's something I would like. I want my house to feel peaceful to me. You don't want it barking at you. You don't want something sitting in the corner nagging at you to be working on. So what does that look like for you? What kind of places are clear? What kind of arrangements are made in the house? What kind of spaces are available to you? What kinds of activities do you want to be able to do in the house that you can't do now? Do you like to cook and you can't get in the kitchen? So then one of the things you'd like to have when you're done is, I can cook in the kitchen easily. That's a reasonable reward, right? Think about what you would like to be able to do or feel in the house when all of the work that you're contemplating doing is done, because aiming for that goal will help you stay on target. What end result would be the most rewarding? What result, if you achieved it, would give you the most relief or happiness? So think about, what can I do? What have I accomplished that makes me feel the most relieved or the most happy about achieving? Those are the places where you're going to point your arrows and aim. And so let's see if we can figure out what those are. So now you want to plan the project while considering your energy level and your focus abilities. Planning the work time slots is the first thing. Like, how long can you work in any one sitting on this project? It isn't that you're going to plan to work on it 12 hours a day or 10 hours a day or whatever. You really want to say, I can stay working on an organizing project and still be relatively productive for an hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours. And then I'm out of steam. I'm out of the ability to focus. My brain is shutting down. So you need to think about, based on your own energy level and your physical capacities and your ability to stay focused, what's a reasonable working time slot that you can work on the project? Because saying to yourself you're going to work until it's done ignores the fact that you're human and you're going to run out of steam. So you need to set those time slots that work for you. And then schedule that time and commit to repeating it. So part of it is getting out the calendar and blocking off that time slot as many times as you want, a week or a month, so that you don't schedule something else on top of it. You commit to having that time available for the project and you repeat it so that it becomes routine. It becomes habit that you keep working on it every week until kingdom come, until you get to the end, until you have declared yourself complete. And so get out that calendar, set that time slot, and build it around your regular life and your activities. If you work all week, then committing to a 3-hour appointment at the end of your workday seems like it's not going to work because you're going to run out of steam from your regular workday before you have time to come and do organizing. So maybe you have to go in and set that you work Saturday afternoons for 2 hours, or you work Sunday mornings for 2 hours, or wherever you're going to slot it in. But you do need to create that I do this every week mentality and create an appointment around it and put it in the calendar and commit to that. Repeat, 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 so that you make some headway. You can also recruit some support. So see if a friend wants to be an accountability buddy or wants to trade work. So I've known people who get together with their friends and they go 1 week, the two of them work in one house. And then the next week, the two of them work in the other house and they switch back and forth. Or maybe they just are accountability buddies online or by phone. So they talk to each other and commit to, I'm going to work on this week. And then when they talk again next week, they report about how they did and whether they accomplished it, what didn't work. And so you have to report back to someone, and there's nothing like having to tell somebody that you failed that gets you motivated to not fail. There's nothing like it. There's at all. And that's the point of an accountability buddy, because you have to go back and say, I didn't do it. And you're embarrassed and upset about it. And so then you go and do it. So you don't have to say you didn't do it. And it works. You can also make a list of supplies that you might need, but don't go shopping yet. You really need to get some sorting and purging done first, so you have a better idea of what you actually need to store and where you're going to need to store it. And you don't really know that until farther down in the process. When you're starting with a room that's really densely packed, trying to figure out all the organizing products you're going to need is sort of an exercise of futility, because as you go through that, those items, things are going to get relocated to other rooms. Things are going to be thrown away. Things are going to be donated. And the volume of stuff in the room is going to change. And you're not going to have any idea of the categories, most likely up front, the categories of things that you have to capture and store. And so you really want to, you can speculate about the supplies now, but don't go buy anything yet until you've done a little bit more of the work.
Let me interrupt you while you're between topics to say, Jane shared to the comment Gail just said, this is your comment about how you want your home to feel. During one of her past videos, I came up with determining I want my home to be safe and comfortable. That's helped me a lot in making decisions about my home.
It's a great filter, right? Like if you know that what you want to achieve is, it needs to feel comfortable to you and it needs to feel safe, then it creates a parameter around, if I keep this here in the hallway, I'm not going to feel safe. And so it allows you to make some decisions about moving things around and letting things go. Good job. I'm so glad. Excellent.
And Deborah mentioned FocusMate as a good resource for accountability. Are you familiar with FocusMate?
No. I need to go look that up.
Yeah,
FocusMate.
I'll look into that one. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you for the share. We always get great tips from our audience members. Thank you so much. Okay, so the next step is getting started on the actual work. So let's pick a piece of the project that makes you the most crazy or that you're willing to start on. And that was, we focused on those and made those lists earlier. And so that was, a way for you to find the place. We're aiming for you to find the starting place. And so once you've picked that, then it's time to dive in. And the first thing is you want to remove donations, trash, recycling. And that is a process where as you go through and work in an area, you're going to create, here's my trash pile, here's my recycle pile, here's my donation pile. And a lot of people stop without then at the end of their work session, they're not at the end of the room or the area most likely, but at the end of the work session, they want to take that trash out to the trash bin, take the recycling out to the recycle bin, make those things go the rest of the way out of the room, and then remove the donations. And people always want to make a big pile of donations in the corner and not deal with them, except that then the pile becomes huge and too much to manage, and it becomes a burden to transport it. And then it just becomes a new mound in the room. So,
And I was going to say that it becomes visual clutter, even if it wasn't before, that's there to distract you and discourage you.
Yes, exactly.
Move it on out.
Move it on out, man. Exactly. And so getting at the end and taking that stuff and bagging it up in small collections that are easy to carry instead of the big box that no one can lift. You want to make it in bite-sized, movable pieces, and then go make the exercise of going and getting in the car and driving to the nearest drop-off place, taking it and donating it and getting it out of the house. It prevents you from picking it back. It helps you see a huge difference in the room because all that stuff is missing. And you also feel like you accomplished something, even if you didn't get the room finished. If you go and drop off a pile and say, I ran this errand and I accomplished it by handing out the stuff to a donation center, then woohoo. And you have something very clear to point at to show that you did something and it's worth the effort. I see that Sophie has her hand up. So I'm wanting to stop and let her ask her question.
Hi, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
I haven't been on here, I think, since October. Anyway, long story short, I ended up having a third storage unit. And so I pushed and pushed. I was going like sometimes 2 hours, sometimes 4 hours at a time. And I emptied that third storage unit. I didn't just take everything and throw it away. I went ahead and kept what I could, donated what I could, and trashed what I could. So my question or concern is, once I'm to the point of relocating, which I hope is here in the next month, how do I start off fresh? So my storage unit is broken into two parts because that's what was available. But if you put the two of them together, it's the size of like a regular two-car garage.
Okay.
Got a lot of work stuff, school teacher, so kind of got some school stuff there, and then just clothes and personal home stuff.
So you're going to take that stuff and move it into a new place,
right?
Okay.
And then I think to start, I'm going to keep one storage unit and kind of maybe leave the school stuff there and just start off taking the home stuff home and get it set up. I want to do it right because I know I'm very good at maintaining it once it's in place. Just hasn't been in place in a very long time.
Right. So if you're going to start with a new place, then start with the furniture and put furniture in, and don't move. If you have a storage unit, then you can move everything over. You don't have to move everything over at once. So I would work on furniture and then work on household goods on top of that and only bring what you need. So if it's not something that you need, then, you know, save it for later. Let it be, let it wait. And you may find that all the stuff that you have is way more than will fit. And you need to do another round of purging after you get it done. So get everything set up how you want it. And then what's left over, what's not necessary, you know, look at it again and make a decision about whether it needs to stay in storage or whether it can just move on, because you've got your house tricked out how you want it. And don't try to force it to fit in. Like, you don't want to make a space for everything. You want to load in what works and what makes sense for you. And so don't filter it with how can I make this fit. Filter it with what do I need to have to live my life and be happy in here. And anything that doesn't make the grade stays out and then either gets processed out, donated, whatever.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's what I was needing, is like a focus question. Cause I definitely do plan to go through again and edit my stuff down further.
Awesome. Yeah. Well then just, you know, set it up how you want it. A little bit at a time, and then let the rest go. Good luck. Cool. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we talked about the donation trips.
Actually, before you get started again, let me jump in with to say, Deborah answered, FocusMate is an online meetup with someone for 25, 50, or 75 minutes. Three sessions a week are free. More than that is a few dollars a month for unlimited. You are matched with a stranger who also wants to work on something. Highly recommended.
Oh, isn't that cool? So it's like you get your accountability buddy through this application.
Yeah.
Love it. That's awesome. Cool. Thank you, Deborah. That's a great resource. Perfect time of year for it. Okay. So we're talking about the actual work. So we talked about picking a focus, an area to get started, removing donations and trash and recycling at the end of every session so that you feel some accomplishment and you keep getting things out of the space. And then sort the remainder into categories. So if you're standing in the room and you've pulled out, you know, trash and recycling as you go, there's going to be things that you're keeping and you want to sort those things into categories. So there's a space, each room in a space has one or more purposes, and sorting your items like with like helps you see how much of something you have, whether you need to have all that volume, and if there are things that can be left behind for another to use or moved on to another room. So sorting into those categories helps you see what all things are in there and whether they go with the function of the room, whether they make sense being in there, whether you have too much of something. So it's important to go through and sort those contents. As you say, I don't want that one. That's going to go in the donation pile, but the keep pile leaves you with the things that are going to stay in the room that you need to manage. And so trying to figure that out and what those categories are is important. Then you want to plan where each category needs to be in the room. So think about how you're going to use that object or that group of objects and how often you're going to use it. I have medications and they're in the bedroom, and I'm spitballing here, but if you have meds and you want to be able to take them and you always take them at night next to the bed, then that's something that needs to stay in the room. And where do you want that? Where is that convenient to use it or store it? Is there a way that you can store it and have it be out of sight and pull it out and use it? Do you want it out on an open table to manage? And so that's the kind of things I'm talking about. Each category is there for a reason, and you need to think about how you're going to use it and how often and how accessible it needs to be before you plan where it goes in the room. You want to assess if you have all the supplies you need to put things away. Likely you have lots of containers that you can use now. Everybody, when I go to a client, they always have a million containers that they're not using. You can make a list of things to find or to beg from your friends or to buy. But ultimately, once you've sorted into those categories and you start making decisions about how and where you're going to put those things, then this is where the ancillary conversation about what containers do you have, how do you want to store it? What objects are you going to fold into the process to help you put things away where you want to keep them and use them? And so this is where you get to go through your containers or make a list of what you want to buy. And then you're making choices and shopping based on actual needs that you've already determined, which really helps save you money, basically. And it helps you from throwing something against the wall to see if it'll stick. You buy with better intent and with a clear picture of what you need. You want to take photos before and after you work in a space to see the big improvements you made. We forget because we create negative space. As you go through, you clear out an area and you create a negative space. It's basically a blank space that used to be full of stuff. And so you forget how bad it was. And then you don't give yourself very good credit for all the work that you've done. So I think it's important to take a picture. Just get out your phone. We all have the ubiquitous phone camera. So get out the phone and take a picture of the area you're going to work on, and then take a picture when you're done. And so that you can see the difference, so that you can see the movement. Even if all you've done for this early on in particular, organizing is all about destruction. It's all about tearing it down first. And so it may look worse, but you will at least see that there's been movement, that there has been change from what was there before. Ultimately, I worked with my friend, Nori, who is a chiropractor, and we worked in an office storage closet of hers. And she's been in her office for decades now. And so we took apart this closet And she reflected to me, we started at like 10 and we went out to lunch at, you know, 2:30 or something, because we had finally emptied the room of all the stuff and sorted it all and made big trash piles and all that. And so it was a stopping point when the room was empty when we went to lunch. And she reflected to me at the time, it was like, I left the office when we went out to lunch and it was like, we can't leave it like this. This is total destruction. Like there was stuff everywhere all over her office where we had made piles of things kept and sorted it. And it was sort of spread everywhere. And I don't get worried about it because I know what's going to happen. We're going to come back. We're going to put it all away and it's all going to be clear when we're done. But when we left for lunch, she was like, oh my God, this looks so awful. Again, it was really distressing her to see how much we had destroyed her office in the process. And so don't be surprised if you find the destruction more distressing than, you know, where you started, but it is part of the process. And once you get past destruction and start putting back, it will quickly clear up and look better and you'll be getting the results that you want. So if you take a photo before and it looks calmer and stuffed, and then you take a photo after and it looks like a bomb went off, that is positive movement. That is one of the goals you're trying to accomplish, is to destroy what's there in order to rebuild what you want. Don't be surprised by that. if the whole room is overwhelming, some people look at the room and they're like, I don't know where to start. One of the things you can do is take out sheets and cover up parts of the room with a sheet while you work in a smaller area of the room. So it's sort of like an attempt to blank out the rest of the room, so it's not mentally yelling at you while you're working in the corner. So you can sort of cover everything like it's snow and it's all hidden by the snow. And then you can peel up one corner and work in one area. And sometimes mentally and visually, that is less distracting noise to make everything sort of sit under the blanket of snow while you work over here. So it's just a trick for you to be working on the project and keep going and not to be overwhelmed. Next, you may want to move to another area. If you're stuck in one place and you haven't made much progress, come here for suggestions. We always have them. If you work better by switching projects to prevent being bored, then start up a second area and move back and forth between them. So maybe, you know, this week's appointment, you work on this project, and that week's appointment, you work on that project, and you can sort of go back and forth between them. sometimes being overwhelmed with a different set of stuff is helpful. When, you know, this one starts to be too much, you can go work on that one, and this one is fresh for a little while, and that one's resting, and then you can go back to it, and you have a fresher point of view. It's just a way to give you some mental rest between projects, and it might be helpful if you quickly or easily get bored. Switching back and forth might help. You probably don't want to run, you know, a million of them at once, because then it'll really slow down forward motion and you'll sort of destroy everything simultaneously. And then you really might shut down. So I wouldn't pick more than two or three at the most to switch between. Once one area is done, go down your list of pain points and find the next one that was annoying you and go work on that. And set an accountability with a friend to work on a space and report back to each other, or to trade work back and forth between the two of you. It's just like that app. What was it called? Focus Mate. If that app lets you reach out to somebody and find somebody to switch with.
Yes. Excellent. Focus Mate singular.
Right. Focus Mate. So go for it. Accountability was really helpful. If you need some motivation along the way, you can come watch our videos that we talked about. Of course, there's plenty of videos out there talking about it from every angle that you can possibly imagine. So, Ed has been very carefully sorting those videos under topic areas. So you can go pick a topic too and say, here's all the videos on paper. Here's all the videos on kitchen. And so there's some sorting out there for you already. Keep a list of things that you've completed, of the donations you've made, the trash and recycling bags taken out, as some motivation. Like just having a little list of, this is my, you know, I took out 6 trash bags today. I've sent 4 bags of recycling out. I've made these 3 donation trips. Just keeping a list of I have accomplished instead of I need to get done is a great motivation. And it looking at it and going, oh yeah, I've thrown out 37 bags of trash from the house. It doesn't look like I've made any progress today. Let me go look at my list and go, oh yeah, except for those 36 bags of trash that have left the house. Like sometimes just that is enough to remind you of how much work you've done and to keep you going. You can come and ask questions like she did during the show or in the comments on the YouTube videos. Please ask questions and the other audience members answer them and chime in. And so do I, and so does Ed. So feel free to come and ask questions. Take our weekly surveys. They ask your opinion and experiences about a specific organizing topic. And I find that the people that are responding to them are being super thoughtful. They're really thinking about what they're saying. And I can tell that it is a great exercise for getting people focused on it mentally and thinking about it, examining what's going on for them. And we're hopeful that it makes a difference in terms of how you get motivated and get going.
Yeah. Thank you so much for responding to the surveys. We hope that they work as a sort of primer. You know, they prime you for what we're going to talk about this week, get you thinking about the topic in advance, but they also provide massive amounts of inspiration for us. Your suggestions for new topics, and even just your answer to questions where we're expecting conventional responses, and sometimes we get delightful surprises. And
yeah, and just having that point of view, because it's really useful for us to be able to understand where you're coming from or how you see it. And we have our point of view about it, but reflecting on your points of view about the project and the process of getting organized is really helpful for us to guide how we write material. So thank you so much. Ask your friends to remind you why you wanted to tackle this project to begin with. That's a great motivation. If you're having conversations with your friends and talking about it, and you start to feel overwhelmed or slowed down or stuck, it's a good time to go to your friends and go, so remind me again, why did I say I wanted to do this? And let them tell you about it so that you can remember, oh, I had a goal in mind, and it was, you know, to feel more comfortable and safe in the house. Watch an episode of Hoarders. There is nothing like Hoarders to remind you that you'd like to steer clear of that level of problem to solve. You do not want to have to get to that level of cleanup. So watching Hoarders will remind you of how well you're doing and how ahead of the game you are, and it's sort of like a negative motivation. Like you don't want it to be that bad. You don't want your family to have to deal with it at that level. And so it's a good reminder of it could be a lot worse, and we don't want it to be worse. So let's get back to it. And think about your family and friends, all of whom you'd like to have over to dinner without dying of embarrassment. I think this is one of the biggest things that we lose because we lose control of our spaces, is that we lose the ability to comfortably have social interaction in our own homes. We don't feel good about having our friends over. We don't feel good about the family coming. And so it becomes a way that we sacrifice our own needs and desires. The house takes over, and then we stop having people come over. And so thinking about your family and friends and wanting them to be able to come to you and hang out with you and share social and special family time together is an excellent reason to get back to it and to get on top of it. So think about them occasionally to remind you, this is why I'm having to do all this. Here's a good one. You can imagine having to pack up and move for whatever reason, and how the state of your project makes that process so much harder. If you can be clearing out with the goal of, I don't want to have to pack that and move that anymore, it changes the way that we think about putting things in storage, or I'll just put that in the closet. I'll just hide that under the bed. I'll just whatever. If you stop and think, yeah, but if I have to move, then I'm going to have to pull this out of the bed and carry it with me to the next place. Do I really want to do that? It changes how much stuff you stash and hide in the house if you think about moving it and having the house be 100% empty again, and you having to go into those closets and taking everything in there and taking it all out. And so use that imaginary move to help you filter more and to help you recognize how much you don't want to keep all the things that you are stashing in the closet right now. And we will always be cheering you on. So you come and tell us how you're doing. Come and tell the audience members, y'all chat about it. Come and participate live or make comments, and we will cheer you on and helpfully keep you going. That's our goal. We always want to be here to be cheerful and suggestions that will help you and move you along. So that's what we're here for. Come and make use of us when you feel demotivated.
Okay. We are quickly running out of time. So
let's
get to some critical announcements. First, let's talk about next week.
Okay.
We'll be back next week, Tuesday, January 17th, 2023 at noon U.S. Central Time, live in Zoom and streaming on Facebook. Every home is different and every room of the house has its own special clutter problems. But with a thoughtful approach, you can look beneath the mess to see a plan and design in the chaos. Next week, we'll outline a process for analyzing the contents, purposes, and layout of almost any room to create a decluttering and organizing strategy. Join us next week for Creative Destruction, Craft a Strategy to Organize Almost Any Room.
That's what I do every day for a living. So we're going to talk about it, and hopefully I can transfer some of those thoughts and skills to you, and we'll do our best to let you be the clutter fairy in your own home. Okay, we on to the tittle?
Yes, please.
Where Does It Hurt is the title of this week's tittle. This week's assignment is to start planning or refreshing your organizing projects for 2023. So we want to start by spending a little time in self-reflection on your areas of concern. We talked about this earlier. Think about or write down responses to as many of these questions as you feel inspired to answer. What makes you crazy about your space? What annoys you every time you look at it? What feels unsafe about your home? Are you worried about the safety of yourself, your guests, or others who share your space? What seems overwhelming? What makes your brain freeze when you contemplate your project? What would you like to have when you're done? How would your home look or feel to you? What end result would be the most rewarding? And what result, if you achieved it, would give you the most relief or happiness? Your answers to these questions will reveal the pain points that you can use to set goals for what you want to accomplish with your project. So we're trying to help you stop, look around, find the places that are the most annoying, find the things that shut you down, and let's put them on the project list and get going. So we hope that you will come back and tell us next week. These are the things that make me crazy about my space. I love those stories. They're always great. And I can't wait to hear yours. So come and share us next week.
Thank you very much. If you are watching this on YouTube, we'd love for you to join us live. To get notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by visiting cfhou.com/Facebook, or subscribe to our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. One more quick announcement for anyone who is with us for the first time. If you're in Zoom, that is, we stick around for a few minutes after the recorded portion of the meeting is over, so that if anyone wants to ask a question and doesn't want to share it with the entire world in our YouTube video, you get an opportunity to do so. So if you're with us in Zoom, stick around for a few minutes after we turn off the Facebook stream. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us your questions, comments, and topic suggestions on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere else that you've found us. You can always reach us through our website at clutterfairyhouston.com.
Yes, you can. And I also want to circle back and say it is Get Organized Month, and that is an initiative that the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals focuses on during the month of January. And so all organizers everywhere are thinking about Get Organized Month and doing specific projects around it. And NAPO is putting out organizing tips this year on all of their social media channels. So if you go, they have a Facebook page, they have a Twitter account, Instagram account. So if you go look up on Facebook, it's NAPO NATL.
And I'll that put gets a you- link I'll put a link in the show notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can go see their tip every day. They're talking about productivity tips and organizing tips. So it's intended to focus on getting organized during this month of January when everybody's into it. And so please make use of their tips. Go and see what they can tell you that might be helpful. And we will do our best to add to that collection here at the Clutter Fairy. Okay. So we're out for the day, I think, right?
I think we are.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.